I invite you to join me in the prayer for illumination. Gracious and loving God, you know us through and through. Speak to us in the word read and proclaimed, that in the shelter of your love, we may find the courage to face the parched places in our lives and find life in your spring of living water. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson today comes from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, and just the beginning of verse 4. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 4a. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him. Our gospel lesson today comes from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. It is the story that may sound familiar to many of you. It is the story of Nicodemus and Jesus. Of course, in this passage is John 3:16, but sometimes we forget that there's a whole lot that happens around that scripture passage. One of the things about the Gospel of John is that there are some metaphors that kind of run through it, some symbols, and one of them is darkness and light. One of them is night and day. Nicodemus is when one is living in the darkness or things are happening at night, it's usually because people are living in a spiritual darkness and have yet to find understanding. And that's where we find and when we find Nicodemus this evening. So let's hear from our gospel passage, John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, teacher, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "You are a teacher of Israel, and yet you don't understand these things. Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We continue our Lenten journey this week with our second wilderness setting. Just for as a review, last Sunday, Jesus was in the very literal wilderness, all by himself, stripped of all the trappings of safety and family and community. He was out there where there really were dangerous animals and a lack of water and food and those sorts of things. He fasted and prayed and then faced down the temptations that came from the very devil himself. And when he faced them down and successfully passed those temptations, he was ready to begin his earthly ministry. Today, we're in a different kind of wilderness, probably one with which we are a little bit more familiar, the wilderness of spiritual and religious curiosity. While this may seem a little bit safer than actually venturing into the National Geographic wilderness, the spiritual wilderness can be equally unpredictable and challenging. If there is any lesson we must learn, it is this. We are called to lives of transformation and lifelong growth. We will never have all the answers. We will never have all the wisdom. We will never be the same from beginning to end. And to believe that we will never change or that we have all of the answers from beginning to end is to buy into an idolatrous notion that we are the instigators and keepers of our faith. But we are not. As Christ reminds us today, it is God who is the mover and instigator in this world. It is God who created. It is God who loved. It is God who sent the Son to save the world. It is God who does these things. And when we want to engage God, it is on God's terms and not on ours. Nicodemus learned this very quickly when he came to Jesus. He begins the conversation probably expecting to guide it in some way. He was, after all, there representing the Pharisees. We hear him say, we know you are from God. You can almost hear him saying, me and my fellow Pharisees who have been talking about you behind your back. We know that you are from God. And so he's wanting to start this conversation. And so when Nicodemus arrives to speak to Jesus, he doesn't get very far, however. He gets that just out of curiosity kind of statement coming out of his mouth. Who are you and why are you and whose side are you on? He tries to lead the conversation that way, but Jesus moves right in. Rips the conversation out of Nicodemus' control almost immediately. He moves it in a completely different direction, and Nicodemus kind of has to hang on for dear life to understand what's going on. And Nicodemus doesn't do that very well. He doesn't shift gears very well as we read through this story. Jesus starts out by speaking about being born of water and spirit and being born from above, and you can almost just hear the shock in Nicodemus's reception of this conversation. He has trouble keeping up. This isn't the way it's supposed to go. There was supposed to be a little bit of flattery, an exchange of ideas, some sizing up of one another, and finally Nicodemus was going to go back and report to his comrades. But then we have him wondering out loud what it means to be born from above. How can this be possible? You can't do that. You're born once and only once. And the more Nicodemus tries to slow down the conversation and regain control, the more Jesus steps in and turns it around again. But here lies the lesson. This is exactly what it means to be born from above, to live by the Spirit. We are not in control. Newsflash, we are not in control. We are at the mercy of the Spirit. We do not dictate our lives. What we are and who we are is at the mercy of the Spirit who blows wherever she darn well pleases. We lose our agenda and open ourselves up to God's transformation for us through the work of the Spirit. Without shame and without apology, we can and will with time, with experience, with relationships, and with the Spirit be transformed. Our preconceived notions will be challenged. Our hearts will be broken, wide open if we allow it. Our minds will change because we are not God, but because God is at work in us. But oh, how we fear this process. How we resist the truth that we are not perfect. that we are the same, that we are not the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Nicodemus had to deal with this. He had spent his life educating himself and being part of a greater movement of educated people. Jesus takes just a couple of seconds before he's holding up a mirror to Nicodemus and calling out the religious leader's shortcomings. Jesus says, you say this, but you do that. You do this, but you say this, but you do that. You and your friends don't really know what you're talking about. Jesus says this to Nicodemus. He doesn't even know the man very well. And there he is pointing out a harsh truth. It's challenging and it's uncomfortable. And often the most difficult thing for us to do and to say is to acknowledge, you know, you're right and I'm wrong. I've changed and I don't live that way anymore. I don't think that way anymore. I don't fit there anymore. It's hard to admit that once we were in the dark and now we're in the light. It's hard to admit when we have made a transformation. But friends, our lives as disciples is one big act of transformation from beginning to end and all mixed up in between, and that's okay. We might as well get used to it. What we passionately and absolutely argue for or against today may end up in the mirror tomorrow when Christ says, you know, what you said, what you thought, what you did, really not reflective of a life born from above. And when that happens, either as individuals or as a church, we must own it. There have been times throughout the history of Christianity whenever we have made terrible and horrible and life-stealing mistakes. We have judged people wrongly. We have exercised control inappropriately. We have condemned innocent people, all because they did not fit the mold we had in mind for them. We have had to confess our sins over and over and over again. And that does not change. The Spirit is not finished at work in the church. And so, as transformation comes, we must own it. We must learn to rejoice in it. We must be able to celebrate the transformation within ourselves whenever we come to reflect a little more clearly the attitudes and actions of Christ in a profound way. If we don't do that, if we just say, I am who I am and the world and God has to deal with it, then we're doing this whole discipleship thing wrong, because the point of it is to be transformed. The point is following Christ, and Christ changes everyone and everything. When I was in seminary, I had two very profound and different experiences concerning this lifelong discipleship and the power of the Holy Spirit in one's life. It transformed me forever, and I have tried to look back on these times and to glean wisdom from them. The first experience was with a venerable retired preaching professor who was called in from time to time to teach an extra class when they had to add a preaching class here and there. He had received his PhD from the seminary back in the 40s and had begun teaching there in the 50s, and he taught there for decades. One day in class, in preaching class, he said he was going to give an example of an expository style sermon, and that he was going to preach using his dissertation that he had written 40, almost 50 years before. He preached. We were all good students and took copious notes. And when he finished, he said, for those of you who are taking notes on my sermon for style, great. We'll talk about that in a minute. But for those of you who are taking notes on the content, I just wish you would throw it away. Because you see, I changed my mind about 30 years ago on the conclusion in my dissertation. Of course, we sat there all aghast. Our jaws were wide open. You're allowed to change your mind, we thought. For a professor to stand in front of you and openly admit that he or she is wrong is a rare thing, as many of you in this room know. But that's what our professor did. He stood there and said, I was wrong, I changed my mind. And on that day, of course, I realized that the point of his sermon, the point of that class, was not necessarily the style of his sermon or the content of his sermon. It was the permission that he had given to us to grow throughout our ministries, to study and to learn and to let the Holy Spirit be at work in our lives. He gave us the power to change our minds and the courage to stand in front of people and say, I realized I was wrong. It's okay. We were all of us in that room, after all, entering into ministry when one must be open to the power of the Holy Spirit at work in one's lives. And so he wanted us to learn early the power of transformation and the power of the Holy Spirit in one's lives and the humility that that brings, but also the wisdom and the joy, knowing that today and tomorrow can be very different from one another, and that growth always happens. You're never stuck in one place, but God can bring you along to a new and brighter place in your life. So on the one hand, there was a professor living in the freedom of the unknown and passing it on to the other disciples. Then there was a second experience in seminary. As is often the case in institutions of higher learning, there was a great deal of politicking around the future of the school as denominational trends began to change. There was going to be an opening in the presidency of the seminary, and there was a young charismatic leader who was rising to the top of the list of men who were going to guide the seminary. The problem was he did not always hold the same convictions as his current supporters held at that time. He was at one point in his life not in agreement with their theological stances, and he had written a dissertation that spelled that out in black and white, which was in the library for all to read. This was not good for him or his supporters. You could go in and check it out and quote him whenever he would give a speech or something like that and quote his own words back at him, and it made everybody a little uncomfortable. There it was for all to see. He had at one time been on the other side of this theological argument. He had been outside the fold, and that was a problem. So after a while, to solve that problem, since dissertations are not exactly in wide publication, his dissertation simply disappeared from the shelves of the library. You could no longer go in and check it out. You couldn't see that there was any evidence left that this man had gone through any sort of transformation in his theological and spiritual life. There was no change of heart or mind. It was just poof, he had been right all along. And this apparently made his supporters feel much better because they voted him into the presidency of the seminary. These were two disciples of Christ who had very different attitudes about the transformation that one goes through in relationship with God through Christ. I think one had a very honest understanding, an open understanding, and one that was based on humility. And while you may fear the transformation, you're not being feared for judgment when it was over. The other person, of course, was feeling the pressure from a variety of outside sources, had expectations to live up to. And then rather than standing up and saying, look what God has done in me and through me, or whatever it was he needed to say to acknowledge that a great transformation had gone on in his life, he hid it away. so that people would think that you have to be the beginning, right from beginning to end. But we know that's not the story of faith and in our journey. Friends, we who gather here today know none of us have all the answers, and what is more, God knows we don't have all the answers. We're not perfect, we are not unchanging. What we are is a group of disciples who say we want to know and understand more. We want to be more like Christ. We want our lives to make a difference for Christ, for what he stands for forgiveness, for peace, for reconciliation, truth, mercy, justice, hope, and love. We seek Christ and his truth in the light, and we're ready to change. But we don't do this alone. We don't achieve transformation simply because we want to. Christ transforms us as we gather together to engage his word, as we pray together, as we discuss even difficult and challenging subjects together. Christ transforms us as we take what he teaches us and apply it to this world, as we love, forgive, receive, and give grace. We are called to show up like Nicodemus did, to let our curiosity lead us into the wilderness, but not into a wilderness where we are alone, into a wilderness where Christ shines light in darkness so that we can see him more clearly, so that we can engage the world more adequately, and so that our hearts and our minds and our spirits can be changed and transformed into a better reflection of his heart and his mind and his spirit. So let us live in the light and hang on for the wild ride of lifelong discipleship. This is how we encounter the Christ, and this is how we grow. Amen.